Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Exclusive Content Podcast. Here's the theme song. That right there was a toy, like, drum kit kind of thing. It's got, like, keys, like a piano keyboard, and, like, touch pads for, like, drums and stuff. It's just like a mini music drum kit type thing. I reckon legitimately you could compose genuine music out of this thing, including farm animal noises. Anyway, it's been a month. It has been a whole month yet again. They just kind of keep happening, don't they? So, on Edake News, we just released, as of time of this recording, should I say, we just released the video about Shrek and, like, the references it makes. I'm very happy with it. This has been one of those videos that I've been planning for a long time. I think I made a post earlier this year that had, like, a list of, like, I think four main ideas that I've always wanted to cover on Edake, and I was going to do them this year. And one of them was How Has Shrek Aged, Groundhog Day, Creative Censorship, and Casper. And so Casper's the last one of, like, that original four. And I'm probably going to save that now till, well, October, Halloween. It seems right, right? So I'm really happy with the results of that. People seem to really enjoy it too. There was a worry that people would watch it and be like, wait a minute, you don't mention the fairy godmother. You don't mention Rumpelstiltskin. You know, they would miss the point that I'm only talking about the first film. But fortunately, no. Fortunately, most people got that I was only talking about the first one. But they would do stuff like, oh, but did you know that it's based on a book? And they obviously are commenting before watching the whole video, which is kind of infuriating. I've had some people say that because the thumbnail has, like, an aged Shrek on it, that people thought this was going to be a video about how Shrek literally ages, which it's a weird concept for a video to hypothesize on how ogres age, like, in a literal sense. And, like, people were, like, disappointed, like, oh, this is what I thought. It's like, really? You thought you were disappointed the video was not about how ogres actually age? Like, what kind of video would that even be? That would be some kind of weird, deep, like, fairy tale lore stuff. I don't know. That's not my bag. I mean, don't get me wrong. I am super fascinated by myths and legends and stuff. Like, one of my favorite books growing up was one about, it was the Encyclopedia of Things That Never Existed. And, it, you know, it'll just list everything. Like, not just, like, you know, common Western stuff. Like, you know, in all different countries, their own different myths and legends, and you have illustrations and stuff like that. And this was just, like, the coolest shit for me. You know, it's the sort of book you'd read, and then you would start, like, imagining your own grand epic stories set within, you know, these worlds and stuff like that. And it's still something I kind of want to do. But I think I have plenty on my plate. Speaking of plate, I've just eaten a pizza. That's been my, just to kind of help set the context for you. You know, I'm sat here in my office, you know, my regular recording setup, and my tummy full of pizza, just so, you know, you have the complete mental picture here. I am fully dressed. Just to make that completely clear, I am. So, like, the reason I say as of recording is because, like, very soon we'll be releasing another video. Like, these two videos a week apart. I kind of did, with the Groundhog Day video, I think that came out, like, 2 weeks after the UK redubs video. This is the Incredibles video about Syndrome coming out 1 week after Shrek. And that's for a particular reason. It's to line up. The problem is I don't think I'm allowed to say yet. I mean, you will definitely probably know once the video's out. But it's part of this kind of, like, bigger project. And I don't think I'm allowed to say what it is yet. In fact, the very edit you would have seen that I've shared, the work in progress edit that I showed on Patreon, was, you know, has the beginning and end cut out where I allude to what this project is. So that will become clear in time, but I can't say right now. But either way, so it's part of this, you know, it has to come out on this day, and that's okay. I've been able to work with a second editor. So I had our regular Aaron work on the Shrek video while I have Reese, who was one of the other spoof movie editors, take care of the second video. And the double bonus of that is that it will let me, once I've done this Syndrome video, I'll be able to focus on the next video and make it a big boy, because I release one video a month. So if I get it right out the way first week of August, then that means I have more time to dedicate to the September video. So, following on the spoof movie sort of success, let's just say, I'm going to do another big genre video. And this time it's going to be video game movies. So the adaptations of video games. Not movies that are kind of video gamey, like Free Guy, Ready Player One, The Matrix, War Games, you know, that kind of stuff, where it's like a made-up kind of game. This will be like, these are literal, like, video game adaptations. And so this is going to be very interesting, because unlike spoof movies, these are completely different genres. You know, some are horror, some are adventure, some are comedy. It's going to be completely mixed bag. And also, it's like, unlike spoof, so spoof movies were like, they started quite good and then got bad. Whereas this one's going to start bad and then start to get kind of good towards the end. Or at least that's kind of what I expect. So we will see. I think I'll now quickly cover the stuff that I've seen this month. I watched Loki. I think out of all the Marvel TV series so far, it's easily my favorite. Don't get me wrong, I did really, really enjoy WandaVision. I was so into it, but I felt they didn't stick the landing. And I think because of the problems with COVID and stuff, there's a lot of reason why they couldn't. So, you know, there's a lot you can forgive for that. But either way, like, it just, as a story, it just didn't quite stick the landing that I wanted it to. And that's not to say that, like, I mean, yes, a lot was overhyped and over-theorized and stuff like that. And so it was a lot of like, oh, you know, Doctor Strange is definitely going to turn up, you know, stuff like that. But like, even just like as a complete story, it missed a few beats. And I think that was purely because they just couldn't. COVID happened. I watched Space Jam 2. I have a lot of strong opinions on Space Jam 2. It's not good. The first one's better. This one is just a clusterfuck mess of a movie. I mean, I don't want to dunk on it too hard. If you enjoyed it, that's completely fine. That's completely valid. And that's not to say you're wrong and I'm right, and or vice versa. In my opinion, it just didn't do enough for, like, the Looney Tunes characters. It was a very LeBron James heavy movie, and he's not a strong enough actor to carry the movie. He doesn't have that sort of enigmatic charm to kind of, like, carry that when he's surrounded by cartoon characters. And there's just generally a lot of, like, I don't want to go into it too much, because I feel like, you know, obviously people haven't seen it and I want to give them a chance to and, like, come up with their own opinions that aren't influenced by mine. But I just still feel like there was a lot of missed opportunities. Like, even, like, the egregious use of, like, the IPs wasn't so bad. In fact, I dare say they weren't used enough. That's kind of my point. Like, there was a lot of elements they had and they didn't use them enough. It was just so heavily reverent of LeBron James, who's, like, referred to as, like, a worldwide star. And it's like, no, he's not. I mean, no one knows him in the UK, you know? He's a worldwide star exclusively in America. You know, and this whole thing about, oh, you know, all his followers on his social media. And it's like, don't go, what? Don't talk about his social media following like that has any real value. Bloody hell. So, anyway. And I also watched Raya and the Last Dragon. Very, very good. I enjoyed it. I feel like, again, it I mean, like, not to like put myself in the same corner as Lindsay Ellis, who got cancelled on Twitter for comparing it to Avatar. But it's a lot like Avatar in that it has like this kind of big sprawling world and these divided up nations, and the character has to kind of like travel across them to like get the MacGuffin to like bring, you know, to save the world kind of dealy, as a chosen one kind of thing. To the point where I felt like this could have been a better TV show than a movie, because they rush through every town, you know, every major city they go to. Everyone only ever really gets like a few minutes, because there's like a lot of setup for the lore and the world building. And then you're into like where they have to travel from land to land. And it's kind of like they kind of go in and out, and it's kind of it. And it's like you don't really get enough to appreciate each land's identity, what makes it special, you know, the characters you find there and stuff. It's very rushed. Every time they go to a different location, it's very rushed. Other than like basically the starting place and the final place, nowhere else really gets a proper time to shine. And I think that's just because it's a movie. You know, you only get so much time to like focus on that kind of stuff. But that's why I think maybe if this had been a TV show instead, they could have given each place, you know, its own character, which would have made it obviously a lot more like Avatar. So yeah, it's a bit tricky. Either way, I think that's basically it. I'm now going to hand it over to myself, where we have the lovely Mr. Weeble, Jonty Pickin, who was happy to come on and chat about cartoons and, you know, webtoons and so on and so forth. It was a fun time. I love chatting to Jonty, and so I hope you enjoy listening to me chatting to Jonty, right now. Well, Mr. Weeble, could you provide me with a little theme song, please?
All right, I've got this. Exclusive content, exclusive. Ooh, exclusive. Break it down.
Ooh, that was that was funky fresh. What was that?
That is a teenage engineering's pocket operator, the rhythm one.
Oh, I think you got me one of those. It's like a little calculator, right?
Yeah, it looks like the old LCD sort of game things as well.
Yeah, those are great. Those are just fun to just muck about with and bleep and bloop. I've never been able to get like a coherent song out of it, but I get some pleasant beeps.
You can do it. I've seen it done.
Yeah, oh, sure. But I lack that patience, you see. So
yeah, me too. I'll just use a computer like normal people.
Exactly. Who needs physical objects to compose music these days?
No one. Well, I know, keyboard. Well, you know, some way of computer. Make me a banger.
Yes.
UK crime!
You can't just press the banger button. And
it's a shame, though, because that would do me so much good.
All right, then. So, Mr. Weeble, Jonty Pickin, would you mind, for those who don't know, introducing yourself?
What cunt doesn't know me? I am Mr. Weeble. I, back in the day, back before the day, like it was the morning when I started, was making cartoons about eggs and badgers and then horses' willies. And then narwhals and Kenya and a magician. Lots of songs and animations, really. And I look back on most of them and go, what the fuck was I thinking? But hey, that's what I do. So that's what I'm known for. And now I'm available for bar mitzvahs, weddings, and I do freelance work.
Oh, do you still do songs about willies?
Non-stop. It's not just a job, it's a hobby. Come on.
But I kind of imagine, like, you know, like an old-timey bar, and you're there over a pint, and they say, go on, Mr. Weeble, play that song one more time for us. You're like, oh, okay.
Oh,
well, fantastic stuff.
Oh, Jesus, it's pissing it down here.
Oh, is it now?
I might have to close my window. I was enjoying the breeze, but now I'm going to be, yeah. Last time I did this, I had a very damp synthesizer.
Oh, you don't want your synths wet.
Marvellous.
Excellent. All right, then. So, I mean, let's just reach further back in the day. So, like, you're a small child. You're back in Doncaster.
Oh, God.
And you've just come home from school. You've slung off your backpack.
No, I had a head bag, as we all did.
A head bag?
Back then. A head bag. It was a very elongated bag made of leather or leather equivalent, and a zippy bit at the end, which had fully attached but could come off to make a little sort of handbag that you could walk around with.
Oh, like a satchel kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of like that. But yeah, they were massive. You could fit an entire child in there, as we all knew, because we'd do that on a regular basis.
Well, you sling off your child-sized bag.
Yes.
And you turn on the TV. What's on TV?
Not much. It's CFAX. No. In the afternoons, after the schools. Jesus, what was on TV? The Sports Billy was one of the ones. Do you remember Sports Billy?
Sports Billy? No, I do not.
Sports Billy. He was called Sports Billy. He was gifted sports abilities. As far, it's been a long time since I thought about this one. He was gifted sporting abilities by the Greek gods. Though, as far as I could tell, he wasn't from Greece or anything. They were just like spreading the love or something. After that, my knowledge of that show ends. That's all I've got for you.
So it's like these Greek gods reach out to this, I'm guessing, small white child and be like,
yes.
Okay, your turn to be good at stuff.
Yes, I could be entirely wrong. One that has stuck around more in my head, though, is the Ulysses.
Cities of Gold.
Oh, you're talking, what was that? Yeah, Cities of Gold with the raven.
Yeah.
Gold flying raven thing, yeah.
I only remember the theme song. And like,
someday we will find cities of gold. Haunting.
Yeah.
Was that French? That was a French one, wasn't it?
I think it was Japan. I think it was
Are you sure, though? Because you remember 80 Days Around the World with Willie Fogg, of course.
Yes.
And the Musker Hounds. They yes. were all French, but
they
looked
were French.
Sort of anime-ish.
They definitely looked. They definitely looked a lot more. I think they definitely looked a lot more European. Whereas I think Cities of Gold was a Japanese one. I think that was like one of the earliest, like,
okay,
sort of come to the West translated type
come.
Type things. Although not strictly speaking, an anime. I guess there wasn't the fantastic hairdos or anything like that. It was just like
you've got to go back further if you want that. You want Battle Beyond the Stars.
Oh.
With Seven Zark Seven. I don't know if you... Do you remember this?
I don't know.
They were always flying off to the Crab Nebula. And you'd have... there was the handsome one, the big fella.
Yeah.
The two ladies and Cheops, I think his name was, who was just like nonsense talking. But then it turned out that in the actual Japanese version of it, he was just a foul-mouthed fella. He was just swearing constantly.
Oh.
So they replaced most of his scenes with a robot called Seven Zark Seven.
Okay.
Who'd fill in all the narrative plot holes that they had to cut away from when it was blood and just swearing.
Oh, God, yeah. That I guess that's like, I mean, that's something we're sort of still seeing now whenever, like, they bring stuff over and they, you know, they want to stick it on the kids' channel. But then it's like, oh, wait, no, there's, like, characters smoking and there's, like, violence and we've got to cut around this and it's super clunky and awkward, especially when they try to, like, apply their own effects to it, like I kind of covered with, like, what 4Kids did to, like, a lot of anime shows, because it was just like a different audience, you know. So
yeah,
what shows do you what other shows and TV shows do you remember watching as a wee kid?
I mean, for Saturday morning cartoons,
oh yeah,
was king, wasn't it, like, back then with Gaz Top, Get Fresh at the Weekend. And they'd play Zenon.
I remember Gaston.
And Gilbert the Alien, just covered in mucus.
Oh.
Remember that? That was my favourite puppety mascot, Gilbert. But yeah, they'd have all the cartoons on, wouldn't they? They'd have Centurions, Knights of the Magical Light.
Yes.
That was really good, actually. I mean, the animation
was pretty,
real nice.
Really rad for the time, like for a kid's show, for a Saturday morning kid's show.
Yeah, they'd put the effort in, hadn't they?
Well, I mean, I guess it was ultimately to sell toys, but, like, that was fine.
Yeah, the toys had hologram stickers on, you know, what more could a kid want?
Like Mask. Do you remember Mask?
I do remember Mask, but I did not like Mask because the fact that
it wasn't as good as
the car doors just open and went, there's your wings. It's like, fuck off, you're not even trying.
I like.
What's your special power? I wear a hat.
I mean, it takes quite a talent to pull off a hat, I would say.
That's true.
My wife has a very good hat head.
Mine doesn't. No.
Yeah, it's a gift.
You're right.
Yeah.
Centurions. That was brilliant, actually. It was three mustachioed gentlemen.
Yes.
At least one of them had a mustache. With, like, bolt holes on their underoos. So they wore an all-in-one bodysuit, didn't they, with nubs.
Yeah,
and
they'd
attach just increasingly ridiculous things to their body nubs.
It was like an army one, a navy one, and an air force one. And they would just like summon bits from like, I don't know,
space. I think it was. Yeah. Was it power extreme?
Yeah. And then like, I thought that was cool as shit. I loved that. I mean,
it was cool as shit. Lots of like explosions and stuff. People getting blown to bits.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I felt bad for like, I think it was the navy one because it's like, oh no, there's a pub in the mountains. It's like, well, what fucking good am I? Like, it was like,
there's a stream I could maybe.
It's like the Aquaman of the group. He's like, he had, if it wasn't in the water, he had nothing to do.
But, you know, he'd made a reasonable choice because, you know, the earth is mostly water. And yet nothing happens at sea because we don't do well there, do we?
Yeah. I always thought it was weird in stuff like, you know, like movies like with like sharks and crocodiles and stuff where it's just like, oh, no, there's something in the water. And it's like, well, just don't go in it then.
Dead easy to not be in the water.
Yeah.
Is it, though?
Yes. I'm not in it right now.
I mean,
in fact, I'm in the like loft space, so I'm pretty much as far away from water as I can get.
Well, it's trying to get in through your window.
Well, I've closed the window, thus I am protected. It's amazing.
For now.
I mean, I've got a few more kids' show cartoon memories from way back, like the Clangers, but that's not, you know, who cares? We've done that.
I did like it too. Do you ever hear, I think it was on QI, they brought up that like they actually did talk. There was a language behind the Clanger talk. It wasn't just random whistles.
Really?
It's something like, you know, when a big shutter shuts down and one of them does like the fluty noise, and it is like, if you the dialogue is meant to be, oh bugger, the bloody thing stuck again, but then in fluty, so do 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 do, you know. So, so there was a script, basically.
Wow. I mean, like to see the unexpurgated scripts for the original Clangers, I think.
They were basically like ad-libbing and stuff, but with the tooty whistles, so you'd never know. So I love stuff like that. So, it, you know, same with like a Magic Roundabout being like, he didn't know. Yeah, it's a French cartoon, so they got the rights, but he didn't know French, so he just made it up. I just think that's so.
But it was brilliant, and then they brought it back. It wasn't as good. I mean, he just had that sort of magic in the original one. It was amazing.
Yeah, is that surreal thing of just like, yeah, somebody's just making shit up, and you wouldn't get that anymore. You wouldn't get like somebody just take. I mean, you would get it on like, I guess, like, you know, like a YouTube dub. Like a comedy dub show kind of thing. You'd get it in that respect, but like you wouldn't get it like officially where people were just like, yeah, I'm just going to import this French show and I don't give a fuck about what the original text... Because people would be like, no, you got to be true to the source. You know, you got to be true to the original text as the artist intended. It's like, no, people can have fun with it. As long as the heart's in the right place, I guess.
Yes.
So I think you've said before that, like, I think one of your most major influences on your material is the work of Spike Milligan. Who, for those who don't know, is just like, I mean, I'm not so familiar myself, but I know it's just very surreal, very nonsensical, lighthearted and silly. But like, I think like any clip I've ever seen of like, you know, like a sketch starring him and stuff like that, he's always corpsing and laughing. And like, I guess there's just like a sincerity to it as well. Like, you know, he's never bullshitting around. He's just having fun. And that feels quite contagious kind of thing.
Yes. It's sort of being carried on like with Vic and Bob as well.
Mm.
Vic Reeves and Bob Mortimer, who I think sort of like carried the torch after Spike for me and the, just that comedy youth sort of thing growing up with them was brilliant. But yeah, I grew up with like Spike Milligan's books and listening to The Goon Show and stuff. You know, hasn't aged well, but you know, most comedy doesn't, let's be honest.
It can be quite tricky as we get slightly more aware of stuff.
Yes. I think the main thing is with that, though, it's like if you make a mistake, just say, I've made a mistake.
Yeah. What was it of, like, the Spike Milligan stuff, would you say, that was, like, more directly influential on your work?
It is just silliness. And if you listen to his stuff, he's got an excellent sort of use of phrasing and just sticking words together that I really enjoy. And he, like you say, when you watch him, he's corpsing a lot. He's just really having fun with it, which is sort of inspirational in a way, because he's having fun with you. It's like my favorite, one of my favorite acts to see is DJ Yoda. And if you watch him on stage, he's having as much fun as we are, listening to him doing all his mixing and scratching. And it's that sort of honesty of it is really refreshing. And of course, his comedy just takes what life is and realizes how absurd and ridiculous it can be.
Yeah, that's lo- and that stuff definitely like influenced like Monty Python as well, which
yeah,
I know
the love of no punchline sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like just the entire journey can be fun. We don't need to like end on a sort of boom. I mean, it's nice if you can, but you know, let the whole walk be a pleasant little trip. That's why people go on hikes. You don't go on a hike just to get to the end, do you? That would be ridiculous.
I do. I can't stand hiking.
Well, then don't go on a hike.
But I never... I'm like, I'm okay to walk somewhere because I know I'm getting somewhere, but I'm not a big fan of movement. I don't play sports either. But you're right about the Python lack of punchline thing, because it's something I realized on like on a recent rewatch of like one of their episodes, like so many of their sketches are like pulled out of the show and you know seen on their own and stuff like that, but in the context of the shows a lot just like flows from one to another, and there's never like a satisfying end per se to any one sketch. It just like immediately kind of segues, you know, a character will walk out of a room and they're into the next sketch.
Yes.
You know, that kind of thing. I guess in a manner that could also apply to like you know, a lot of your earlier stuff were loops, so you never really considered an end because that was just the nature of Flash, right?
Well, no, I just wanted to annoy people as much as possible.
Yeah,
that was my main aim. It's just like, let's write the most annoying song and stick it with the most annoying visuals, and it'll never ever end.
It would just become earworms, right?
Well, just to try and drive people slowly mad, really. Because as you're putting these things together, it gets increasingly hard because you are listening and making the same thing again and again and again and again. So everyone else would suffer as much as I do.
Yeah.
And if you get some enjoyment out of it, you're doing it wrong!
Bloody hell. So something I guess I've always admired of you, Jonty, is that... it's true. that, like, many people, like, you know, myself included, even people younger than me, like, will, like, slip into, like, a comfort zone when it comes to, like, technological advances, right? You know, they would, like, they would learn one thing really well, you know, be it their animator tool or their, web, you know, video editor or whatever. They'll learn that one thing really, really well and then never change. Yeah. And, like, whereas you, like, you've always, like, embraced technologies as they come around and, like, really wanted to get sort of stuck in with these things. You always seem very excited with that. So... I think, I mean, was that the case, like, when you first started making, like, Flash animations? Was it all this kind of, like, exciting, experimental, you're just going to figure stuff out and see what happens?
Yeah, no, I love a puzzle. I love, like, the whole learning thing. I'm, like, I'm not a traditional animator in any way, shape, or form. I'm more about the how can I do this? Excuse me, let's cut that one. No, let's go for more. Now, I'm more about how can I make this as good as possible with zero budget? And obviously, there's programs allow you to do that. I mean, I started making animations on the Commodore 64 with the shoot 'em up construction kit, which let you have animated sprites. I think they were like 16 by 16 blocks, and you could have four colours per sprite. And I'd spend ages with that, and then going, well, how can I push this further with like parallax starfields and stuff, and like reaching limits of that? And then the Amiga comes along, and you've got like basic animation on that. And then during the music course I did, of all things, we were introduced to Macromedia's director.
Macromedia, yeah.
And Macromedia Flash. And, you know, as soon as I saw Flash, like, oh, shit, now I can, like, put sounds and draw my doodles and animate them all by myself on a computer. Fantastic. And it wasn't really, like, for the internet so much at that moment, but obviously then the internet becomes a bigger thing. It's like, oh, brilliant. So I just started making websites and stuff like that with Flash, eventually getting a Flash job somewhere else. And during like the evenings, I'd be just dicking around making cartoons at home on my own computer.
And they were like very perfect for the time, because like early internet, it was very difficult to share files with one another. Yeah. Like if you like, there was no YouTube, obviously, to be like, oh, I found this funny cat video. You'd have to send somebody the cat video, and it would be like, yeah, it would take up their entire inbox, and it would be for a video that's like 10 pixels by 10 pixels and be super bit crunchy and stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas like a Flash animation file would be really small and really easy to send over.
Yeah. I mean, you had to be careful still. Like a lot of the stuff that I did was really simple looking, because the less shapes you had, the easier it was for the computers to deal with it. And, you know, they were nowhere near as powerful as your cheapest phone these days. Right. So like things like Weeble and Bob were eggs, because I knew that I would run on everyone's computer, and doing that, it could literally play straight away, because it was such a small file size that you could stream it.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. That's why like the backgrounds are very simple, and like the lettering is very simple. It doesn't try to be too flash, although you did like, the more it went on, you'd do some wild and wacky stuff, different art styles and like really ambitious stuff, because like the technology was getting better at the time, and so you were like moving with the times.
Yeah. Yeah, I always liked to like at least put some effort in.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but sometimes. And yeah, like the AHA one and stuff like that was like, well, how can I make this look hand-drawn and scribbly and coming up with methods to do all this sort of thing.
Oh, that's one of my favorites. I do love the AHA one.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So, like, I guess also on the subject of webtoons, I feel like we first met, you and I think it was initially like one of the UK webcomics things, where it was like...
Yes, it was. Yes, I remember it.
A dinky little comic convention in the university hall with, I think there was like maybe 40 different creators all, you know, like, and they were all like... The small press, web comic,
fanzines, web comics. Yeah, yeah. Brilliant.
And I do love that. I do love that environment. It's something I definitely sorely miss. I mean, especially after having done years of MCM London, which is like a much bigger deal. Yeah, I do really miss the dinky little ones. There's just, I don't know, a lot more heart in them. We first met at one of those, and I don't think we really properly met until like a Newgrounds meetup. I forget what year. It must have been something like I'm thinking mid to late 2000s. We meet at a Newgrounds meetup, and I remember it was a big one. It had like, you know, the actual founders of Newgrounds.
I remember that one. Yeah, in down in the Namco Center, wasn't it?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it was there like I met, you know, some people for the first time in person. I think that was where we met like Ed Gould and Tom Scar and One Chop, and, you know, a lot of like creators, you know, that like will go on to like be a bigger part of our lives sort of going forward. What kind of like, were you a frequent person on Newgrounds in the day, or even now? Like, you know, what sort of stuff did you...
When it started, I'd be looking at what they were up to, because they were like doing loads of crazy things with Flash. I was fairly involved for a long old time. Obviously, it's tailed off a bit now because I don't make as much stuff for myself now. It's all for everyone else. Sure. But yeah, and then obviously when Flash died, it's like, that was a big old blow for them, I imagine. But they've seemed to have come up with ways of making that work as well.
They're back in a real big way right now, thanks to
Friday Night Funkin'. Good.
Yeah.
Because they deserve it. They've always had the backs of the sort of animation community and creators in general.
I find it very funny to me that I'm seeing, like, you know, Zubas, like, discovering the Tank Men for the first time and being like, wow, look at these characters we've embraced. And I'm like, know your history, child.
Yeah, because it's Friday Night Funkin', isn't it? It's massive.
It's a real big deal.
Yeah, my son's obsessed with it. He's never played it. He just likes watching people play it.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it's become now that kind of environment of, like, kind of watching other people play kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, like, what webtoons did you take in?
Charlie the Unicorn, massive fan of Jason Steele. Mm. All his work is brilliant. Happy Harry's stuff.
Yes.
Mind-blowingly good animation. Ridiculous.
The Saturday Night Watchmen was, like, I think, the breakthrough for me.
Oh, God, yes, I remember that. Yes.
Tying back to what we were just saying about Saturday morning cartoons.
Yes, indeed. And, of course, Dr. Beast, but that's later on, isn't it?
That was a bit later.
Not Newgrounds, but Homestar Runner.
Of course.
Big fan of those guys. The Brothers Chaps, isn't it?
They're the Chapman Brothers, yeah.
I
don't know why, but in my mind, I always considered them to be rivals to you. Because it was like, the two kind of like the juggernauts of animation, of Flash animation at the time, was them and you in my eyes. So I don't know why, but I always imagined that there was like a rivalry there. But no, like obviously,
God, no.
In retrospect, it was just probably more admiration, right?
Yeah, I love their stuff. Absolutely adore it.
Did you ever send an email to Strong Bad?
I don't know if I sent an email to Strong Bad, but I may have sent them an email going, you're all right, you're doing really well. Something like that. Really like stuff. I think I did that, but I can't be sure. I'd have to dig through like 15 odd years of emails to find it, but maybe I did.
Did they ever reply?
I don't remember. It's possible. My memory's not that good.
But I'm really happy for the Chapmans, because although Homestar Runner has basically stopped, they still seem to make one thing a year or something, but they basically stopped. But they got on to do other things. Like I think they worked on Gravity Falls. So
nice.
Yeah, they're still very... I think they had a Disney pitch.
They did. I saw it, actually, because I was chatting to Disney for a while about various things. I can't remember what. Don't really matter. But yeah, they showed me what the Brothers Chaps were up to.
Oh.
And it was pretty good. It was very them. Very them.
That's a shame, because like, I think like, I don't want to say that like the window has passed for, you know, them to make their own thing, because I don't believe a window is closed forever. But I feel like they've missed being able to ride on the high that it was Homestar Runner, and now, you know, it's more, you know, they just have to go on the merits of it being good, and, you know, they are good, so I do trust that something will happen eventually. So I'm trying to remember some of the Flash stuff I used to watch, other than yourself and the Homestar Runners. There was like Kill Frog, Joe Cartoon,
yeah,
with the hamster and the blender and stuff like that. I can't remember what it was. There was some webtoon that just had like a superhero that just said, "You magnificent bastard," and that was his catchphrase that he said all the time. And I just love that so much. And I still quote.
I don't know who that is, but it sounds great.
I love it. He's just like, every time he's like tied up by the villain, and he just keeps calling him, "You magnificent bastard," and I love it. And I don't
have to find this now. You realize this? I'm going to have to find this.
I do. I mean, I feel like I recommend it. There was like, I remember so many years ago, there was like a thing, because like this was like when Flash animations, there was no Newgrounds, kind of was there. YouTube app wasn't there, so everyone had their own website. So, you know, Weeble stuff
was
a big deal.
It was nice.
It was lovely, wasn't it? You got to control your own community and like what people saw and stuff.
Yes.
But then, like, I remember these various Flash animation websites would like do like a cross collab. It was something like The Greatest Adventure or something like that, and it was like a 10-part Flash animation series that each website hosted apart. So the idea was that you would click on part one on one website and it would lead you to the second and lead you to the third. And it was a way to, like, have, you know, all 10 of these channels, like, get, I guess, like, you know, traffic, right? Because it would be, like, people coming through and seeing each one's own individual style for this story. And I always thought that was so cool and something that I don't know if we'll ever really see again because of the nature of, like, social media.
Who has a website anymore, you know?
No. It's just portfolios, I guess, you know? Business websites. It's business. It's less sexy, you know? It's less fun.
It's no point. It was always going to happen, but it's a shame.
Yeah.
I loved the little communities that, you know, everyone had their own little thing, and you'd visit actual places to see if anything new had come out.
I really enjoyed, because you began to, like, open your doors to, like, allowing people to upload their stuff to your website.
Yes.
And that was stuff like where, you know, Salad Fingers and the Lemon Demon song.
Ultimate Showdown.
Yeah.
I think that was going to go huge anyway. Let's be honest. Maybe it was already huge by the time it reached my site. I can't remember. But yeah, the guy who did it, I always got permission, unlike some other places. That was my big thing. It's like, is this cool with you if I do this? And if they said no, then obviously you wouldn't.
You would not be in E-Bomb's world.
No. I refuse to be E-Bomb's world. I had a big mistake once, though, I have to admit.
Oh, yeah.
Syriac Harris, I believe his name is.
Ah, yes, of
Syriac.
Course.
Cows and cows and cows and cows. So we all know his work, I'm sure.
You know it if you saw it, absolutely.
Yeah. He just started up and he was like, I need some hosting. And obviously I was paying, like, through the nose, through hosting, and I'd bandwidth up the wazoo. So I offered to host his entire site and then forgot about it. And then one day looked at my bandwidth usage. He'd shot up in popularity, obviously, but I'd forgotten I was hosting his site. It's like, what is all this? What is all this? So I'd removed the entire directory and then he emailed going, what have you done? And I went, oh, fuck. So I don't think he likes me, but maybe he can forgive me by now. But I've heard he holds a grudge.
Oh, I have heard he's a tricky person because there was that there was that hoo-ha series about, like, meeting animators and stuff. And
yes.
I know from behind the scenes they met with him and they needed, like, just, like, footage of him on a computer just for the sake of, like, B-roll, right? You know, it's fine. So he didn't want to film in his home. So they set up a MacBook in some else's house and stuff. You know, so he's just there on a computer. It's just meant to be a visual of him at a computer. That's all it was. But then, like, I remember the story was from the guys behind it who made the show was saying, yeah, he got pissed off later because, you know, they show him on a Mac and he's like, I don't use Macs and stuff like that. It's like, oh, okay. But, like, I mean, you were there. So, yeah, very, very particular person, but I'm sure he's still very, very talented.
I'm sure he's lovely. He's very good, though. He's very good at what he does.
Mm, absolutely. I keep seeing, like, do you ever see, like, Baby Jake? You know that kids show, Baby Jake?
Oh, God.
It's very... I keep every time I see it, I'm like, is that Syriac? It looks so much like his style, but for a hideous kids show.
I think he's just inspirational for that sort of... Like, but he's shown a lot of people how to use After Effects, I think.
Mm.
Like, you can do this. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, really pushing the stuff to the limits. Actually, like, on the subject of kids, we have kids, you and I. Not together, but, like...
Yes, yeah, we do. Don't lie. Why won't you acknowledge our bastard offspring?
obviously, you'd have had to, like, watch the shows that they watched. What did you think of the stuff that they were watching?
I mean, I love Peppa Pig to
you
this
do?
Day. I think it's a wonderful show. The writing's fantastic. Their comedic timing is amazing. And their efficiency of animation is just awe-inspiring.
Mm.
It's like, oh, I'm going to drive up a hill. Drives up a hill. Okay, goodbye, everyone. Cuts back to the car. It's already facing the other way. No tricky turnarounds. Don't worry about it.
Very Scooby-Doo in that respect. You know, they run off screen and then come back the other way.
Yes. Oh, what else is good? By the same people is Ben and Holly's Little Kingdom, which is pretty good. It's no Peppa Pig, but it's pretty good.
I've never heard of that one.
It's pretty good.
What's it about?
It's about two fairies called Ben and Holly. Uh-huh. And Holly is the princess and Ben is an elf. So she's a fairy, he's an elf. They kind of get on, but there's a little bit of a, you know, well, they get on, but the rest of the elves and fairies, a little bit of a head bashing sort of thing. It's quite good. It's quite good.
So we're dealing with segregation in a kids show.
Not really segregation. I think I've maybe like misled you there. But you know, the elves have problems with the fairies. The elves are very sort of bureaucratic and governmental, whereas right. the fairies are a little bit more laissez-faire. They've got a bit more of a floaty way about them because the fairies. Yeah. I'm trying to think of other cartoons that I've watched with them. My God, they watch some trash.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't say which one's the trash. But, I mean, you never know. I might be able to sell a pitch to the BBC one day.
You could. But, like, I mean, I guess I'm more like with my son right now. Like, I think, like, you probably just about escaped it. But, like, the era of, like, YouTube 3D animated, you know, like, nursery rhyme kid stuff. Like Cocomelon and
yeah,
Little Baby Bump.
We've seen, because we did our own kid show, and we were looking at all these and going, why are all these so spooky and hideous? It's because you look in the cold, dead eyes, and it's just like something's not right in the way it looks. It's like, oh my Lord.
I think that might be why kids are so drawn to it, because it is haunting, but they can't like look away. So
is this their Mr. Bonk, Mr. Nosy Bonk?
Oh, my God, Mr. Nosy Bonk. Maybe.
Kids need to be scared shitless by some of their most beloved characters. You're on to something.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the most horrific children's program ever.
Yeah, God, I'm trying to think. Like, I'm trying to think of like the real scary shit that I used to watch growing up. I don't remember. I learned about Mr. Nosy Bonk after the fact, but I don't think I ever really saw it, you know, like natively.
It was just a sketch within, I think it was like a Johnny Ball Reveals All type show.
Oh,
what happened
I see.
To Johnny Ball? So it was like, there'd be a whole bunch of science and stuff, and Mr. Nosebonk would be explaining a facet of that or something in his own hideous way. I could be entirely misremembering this, but I do remember watching
a
it.
A segment of like a variety show, like
yes.
Like Zap. Do you ever see Zap?
I've never seen Zap. What was the one we had? Crackerjack was one.
Crackerjack, yeah.
And there was another one, but I can't remember the name of it. Tiswas.
There's Tiswas. Yeah, Tiswas with Basil Brush.
Oh, boom, boom. Good.
Noel Edmonds. Before his drinking piss and looking at planets days.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Noel Edmonds drinks his piss.
He does drink his piss. That's what I heard.
Oh, my Lord.
Maybe I'm wrong, but like he's not a nice man, so I'm okay to spread that kind of rumor. So.
Yeah, I feel you're okay to say that, yeah.
Yeah. He had this whole thing about, like, yo, I've got a machine that, like, can cure cancer. And it's like, okay, Noel.
Have you, Noel? Have you?
Is this like some...
Is it hidden in your beard?
Is this some elaborate gotcha where it's going to be like the moment Granny dies, like, ha-ha, it was us all along, you know, like, here's Mr. Blobby dressed as a doctor, like, yeah.
Turns out we've just been living in Noel's house party all this time.
It's just the party that just won't stop.
Please stop the party.
What animated shows, or just, I guess, any shows, are you currently watching at the moment? What's currently...
Oh, my Lord, am I watching shows that are animated? Yes.
Yes.
Rick and Morty obviously goes without saying. It's mm-hmm. pretty good still. But a big one for me recently was Invincible, which I thought was incredible.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that like adult animation can be just really adult animation again. It's nice.
I'm looking forward to seeing with like what they do with it now, because I felt like I sort of expressed this in the previous podcast, but like, I felt that like a lot of what it does is so derivative of like, you know, this is meant to be Superman, this is meant to be the Justice League, this is meant to be Hellboy, you know, you kind of get all that. So now that like that stuff's kind of out the way, I'm now looking forward to what are they now going to do? Well, now they've established, you know, this isn't your mum's or this isn't your dad's superhero story, you know, like, okay, now what are they going to do? That's the part I'm looking forward to.
Well, don't look up the comic Wikipedia, otherwise it's going to spoil everything. I regret it.
How dare they publish comics?
How dare they publish comics before I'd watched the show? How dare they?
Anything else? Anything else hit your radar?
I really liked Final Space. I loved the sort of, it's real simple character design, but the way they treat the environment and everything is just, oh, that's lush.
It's very much a space opera, isn't it? It's like, there's a lot of like, whilst it's comedy at nature, every episode seems to end on a very somber, sort of quite emotional beat, usually somebody sad about something. So it is very much leaning into the operesque nature of the space opera. I'm really enjoying it. It's another one of those of like, okay, but where are you going? Where are you going with this?
Yeah, I mean, it's like season two is like, oh, wow, okay. Well, where are you going now? Yeah. Oh, and BoJack Horseman, of course. I mean, I know it's finished, but that was a trip, wasn't it?
I've watched up to, I think I've watched the end of season three. And I think there's seven, right? So
yeah, there's a few seasons. Oh, you're in for a wild ride, my friend.
Yeah, I've already dealt with a lot, so
you're going to be dealing with so much more. Oh, but we love BoJack. But why do we love BoJack? Because he's horrendous. But we do love BoJack. He is horrendous, though.
He's just like self-sabotaging all the fucking time, and it's like, oh, come on, this is like, this is a big deal, and like, oh, once again he's blown it, you know, the kind of thing. And it's all right, wonderful. Well then, thank you very much, Jonty, Mr. Weeble. Where can people find you if they want to come and find you?
I'm on that Twitch mostly these days. I do generally, I'm just working away during the day and chatting with people and, you know, bouncing ideas around. twitch.tv/Mr_Weeble without an E at the end. See, this is my poor life choices, isn't it? Just a name that you can't just go, oh, it's, you know, cake and it's spelt like cake. No, I've gone with something you have to go, oh, it's Weeble, but without an E at the end, if you know how that's, yeah, yes, that, no. No, not Mr. Weebly, no.
Yeah, it's named after the Weeble toy, right? The
no, Weeble. God, no,
wasn't it? I thought that was the idea. It was named after the Rocky egg thing, and then like you had
to. They're hideous.
But then you had to like rename. I think for a DVD, you had to rename it to Mr. Wobble.
Wobble and Bob.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. So annoying. So it's definitely nothing to do with those. Guaranteed, not that.
Okay. Well then. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Wobble.
Hey! Take care. Goodbye.